Father God, we give you thanks for hearing the prayers of your people this morning. We know that you are a loving and listening God. We know you do hear the prayers of your people. Lord, we pray for patience in our hearts while we await your answers for our prayer requests. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you shower upon each of us individually and as families and as a community. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Labor Day has its origins in the labor movement of the 19th century. It was a day set aside to celebrate all of the accomplishments that were being made through industrial workers. And today it's a day set aside to forget about work and to have a weekend to relax and enjoy the closing days of summer. And there's a bit of humour there on the front of the bulletin that Myrna picked out. The cat on the front of the bulletin thinks every day is Labor Day. Just, most cats are like that, they just lie around and do nothing. But for the Christian, of course, taking times of rest is important. Very important. We do have to have that life-work balance. Jesus did. Jesus took his disciples aside for times of rest. In Mark 6 it says, then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. That's how busy Jesus' work with the disciples was in that day. So busy they didn't have a chance to eat. He says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So it's important that we do take times of rest. But the inevitable day arrives, and it's coming up on Tuesday when workers return to their tasks. Students and teachers return to their schools. Factory and office workers return to their trades and their careers. And the church too. We've had a season of rest. The church too returns to its work as we start off that new year. But what will we pick up this fall? What will God start in us and among us this fall? Will God call you to some new task, some new ministry? Will you sense when the call goes up from here to people to help with this or to help with that? Something will trigger in your heart or in your mind, and you think, well, that could be exciting. Or that could be terrifying. But if God calls you to a task, if he calls you back to greater involvement in the life of the church, it's best to obey. God does not take no for an answer. You see, when we work for the kingdom of God, we work for something that lasts. And so we focus on the kingdom work that we're called to. Every believer has a choice to make in responding to God's call to service in this kingdom. When God says go, what will your answer be? We've just sung the song that says, I will go where you ask me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. Sometimes the thing that God will call us to do will be quite radical. Trust me. I was called out of my very successful career in IT. It was a radical call to go to seminary and go into pastoral ministry. It wasn't easy on me or Annette. Family was pretty much grown at the time. I'd left home or was shortly going to be leaving home. But it was still a challenge. It was still a radical call. But you could resist. You could argue back and forth with God. And if you'd like the script to that argument, you can read it in Exodus chapter 3, when God called Moses. And God, Moses said, yeah, but. And God said, go. And God, I can't speak. I've never done that before. Who am I? God said, go. God wins. It's a good read, chapter 3. It's a good read, chapter 3 of Exodus. And God calls you to something. He wants you to do it. Maybe it's not just the work that God is calling you to that's the real challenge. Maybe our lives are just so full, just so busy. Our priorities are so set, and our focus is so earthbound that we just can't find the time to squeeze in kingdom work. Sometimes our world, we focus our possessions, the familiar, the comfort zones that we've made for ourselves. They take priority. And like Moses, we have a ready list of excuses for why we cannot take on that role, or we cannot find the time to do this work of service. Sometimes, in a lot of people's cases, our earthly priorities put God second, or even further back on our list. So what will be your response this fall when the call goes out from the pulpit or from one of the announcements that we need someone to do this or that around the church? So it comes down to where our minds are focused as we go through our regular day. What is primary in our thoughts? And in today's text, this is John chapter 4, we see Jesus and his disciples reaching a small town in Samaria, which, by the way, was hostile country for a Jewish rabbi and his disciples. We're in John chapter 4. I'll be there in a minute. And it shows this text because it exposes priorities and focus, where people's minds are at. And it shows us how, even in the midst of God's work being done, even followers of Jesus, people who are close to Jesus, can be blinded and distracted by earthly means. So our context in John chapter 4 is they're in the town of Samaria. They've stopped by a well. The disciples have gone into town. Jesus stayed by the well. And he used this time to draw a Samaritan woman into conversation. He had the conversation with the woman about her many husbands. And we'll pick it up then, just as the disciples were returning. So we're in verse 27, John chapter 4, verse 27. Lord, bless the reading of this passage from your word this morning. Just then, Jesus' disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? And then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. The word of the Lord. In this passage, we see a difference in focus between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus was always looking for an opportunity to reach someone with his message of God's love and reconciliation. We have to watch for this in our lives too. Are we going to go to work on Tuesday morning? And are we going to be having our eyes open, looking and listening for opportunities to tell people that God loves them and God wants to have a relationship with them? Are we going back to work just to go to our task? Or are we going back to work thinking of it as the mission field? That's the challenge. And the challenge is, what's the primary focus in our lives? Is it the world around us? Or is it the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven that we're already part of. Sometimes our priorities in life, the physical and material life on earth, can overshadow the weightier matters of eternal life and our calling as citizens of God's kingdom. When we took up citizenship in the kingdom of God, when we received Jesus Christ as Savior, our citizenship changed. Many of us here, myself included, and Annette, and I can see there are no people here who are immigrants from different parts of the world. When we came to Canada, we left behind the old country. We take up citizenship and we live here and enjoy blessings, the abundance that's here. And we tend to leave the old country behind. And this is what we do when we take up citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. We leave the old country behind and become citizens of a new system, a new way of living. When we take up citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, we should sever our ties with the kingdoms of this world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of a Disciple, says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It's as simple as that. We have to die to our old life, our old world, and the things that this world has to offer, in order to take up full citizenship and full service in the kingdom of God. See, as citizens of God's kingdom, we should have kingdom priorities and be dead to earthly priorities. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, our focus in our work life, in our civilian life, if you like, shouldn't be working for earthly success and earthly treasures. Our work and our thought and our priority should be heavenward, on that which will last forever. For every person you witness to, for every person you bring into the kingdom, that lasts forever. And as many of us here at one time bought a brand new shiny car, and we were very pleased with the purchase, and we've done that too in the past. We've now smartened up and we buy old cars now because the value is different. But eventually that brand new shiny car is taken to the wreckers and crushed and recycled. It's lost its shine, it's lost its luster. But every person you witness to, every person you lead to eternal life, that will last forever. The things of this world do not last. And so it's these actions, if you like, this work for the kingdom, that should take priority. In James, that wonderful book of James, he talks about faith and deeds, faith and action. And in James 2:26, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We claim to have faith in Jesus Christ. We claim citizenship in the kingdom. Show me, James says. Show me. Show me, starting Tuesday morning. Are you bringing the kingdom talk, the kingdom language into your life? Are people looking at you and saying, you're different? Tell me about yourself. And then you can tell them. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have the joy of salvation in your heart. You know that everything that goes on in this world is temporary. All the troubles, all the trials, all the tribulations. I can go through all of those because I know I have my place in God's kingdom. See, everything we work for here on earth is destined to be destroyed by the great fire that's coming. Our homes, our cars, our clothes, all our earthly possessions. And I'm sorry, lady, even that closet full of shoes. They're all destined for the fire. In 2 Peter 3, Peter writes, "The present heavens and earth are reserved for fire." It's right there in the text. "The present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." It says in 2 Peter 3:10 that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. See, our focus on earthly things is temporary, because all of our earthly things are destined to be destroyed. Only what we have accomplished for the kingdom will last for eternity. So where should our focus be this Labor Day weekend? What should our resolve be in the year ahead, in our workplaces, in our schools, in the marketplace? We're called to work as a body of people. We're called as a congregation to work together in unity. Each one has a role to play. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "From him, Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Work, there's that word again. That horrible four-letter word, work. It's terrible, isn't it? Each part does its work. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." There's that comparison again. Right there in Ephesians, Paul's saying to the believers, don't live like the pagans, don't live like this world lives, but live differently. Choose kingdom focus than over earthly focus. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had already covered this. He says, "Do not worry about your life, about what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" Priorities again. Priorities. In 31, in Matthew 6, 31, it says, "Do not worry, saying, what should we eat, what should we drink, what should we wear? For the pagans run after these things." Again, the comparison. Are we pagans? Are we Gentiles? I mean, we are Gentiles, but are we living like the world? Are we living like citizens of the kingdom? He says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows what you need. You focus on the kingdom of heaven. And that passage in Matthew 6 ends, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." God provides. God always provides. He never let one of his children down. Matthew 16 says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul?" Indeed. What is it worth it? We get all the riches and material benefits of this world and lose our kingdom, our kingdom's citizenship. There's a cost to being a true follower of Jesus. It was because the first disciples gave up their lives to spread the gospel that we have the gospel in our hands today. All through history, men and women have given up their lives, given up the focus of their lives to the cause of the kingdom of God. And now that call has come down to this generation. And we have to pick up that call. We have to respond as the generations before us did. We have to die to self, as Bonhoeffer said. God has called us to die. Die to self and bring the message of God loves to the people, God's love to the people who have not yet heard it. And that means kingdom priorities take, kingdom work takes priority in our lives. If we look back at John chapter 4, our main text today, we read in verse 28 that the woman at the well heard something from Jesus that penetrated deeply into her heart. She had come to the well to get water. Absolute necessity for life, for physical life. Essential for physical life is getting water. We can't survive more than 3 days without water. We would die if we didn't drink anything for 3 days. Hard to think that life is that tension, right? Hanging on by a thread. We absolutely need water. But suddenly, based on what Jesus had said to her, in that little brief conversation, water was not important. It just was not important. Because in verse 28 it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town to speak to the people. A critical shift in thinking there. She went out to the world to get an absolute essential thing for life. And having encountered Jesus, she abandoned it. It's no longer important. I had a higher priority now. I've got to go and tell these people. She left the water jar and ran back to the village to tell people about Jesus. And she would not have been a highly respected woman in the community. All the other women would be afraid she'd be stealing their husband next. But this message that she had heard, this thing had gone on in her heart, changed her. Jesus' priority at the well was looking for someone to witness to. The woman's priority at the well was to go and tell other people. What was the disciples' priority? Lunch. The disciples' priority was lunch. Come on, Rabbi, eat something. They were missing it completely. Jesus knew what he was about. The woman knew what she was about. The disciples were about lunch. Focused on the physical needs over the core of the kingdom. Where are we in this picture? Jesus makes it plain to the disciples and to us that what this life's priority should be for a true disciple, for the man or woman or child who has determined they will follow Jesus, is that the food that sustains us will be to do the will of God. Our opening hymn today, we said, I'll go when you want me to go, I'll be what you want me to be, I'll say what you want me to say. That's taking on kingdom priorities. That's our challenge. Just as Jesus is completing this teaching in John 4, the people of the village are starting to come out to see who is this man this woman is talking about. And you can imagine that when she came into the village to talk to them, it wasn't in a flat, monotone voice. She would be excited. They could see the change that had gone on in this woman. She had encountered the Messiah. And that's what our voices should sound like. That's what our faces should look like in our workplaces on Tuesday morning, in our schools on Tuesday morning. We've encountered Jesus. I have to tell them. Jesus looks towards them, sees them coming out of the village, and he tells the disciples, the fields are ripe for harvest. This crowd needs to hear the message of God, the message of God's love and forgiveness for all people. Let's not be caught up with lunch and the physical needs of this world and the glitter that's in this world. Let's be focused on kingdom priorities. The torch has been handed to this generation. And we of all people, a Christian Baptist, should recognize that. None of us are founders of this church. This building was completed in 1874. 142 years. We don't have the banner up, but this congregation was founded in 1822. We'll be celebrating our 194th anniversary this November. We've inherited a wonderful legacy in this community. And it's ours now to light that torch bright and to carry it out into the community. The call of Scripture, the commission given to the church, was to go and make disciples. It's an invitation, it's a command from God, yes, but it's also an invitation from God to us. He said, come, join me. Join me in my work of redemption. Join me in the mission of God. And so I ask you, as this Labor Day comes upon us, we look back on a great summer. We've had time, many of us will have had times away. Certainly I've had time to recover. But after tomorrow, the work begins. We have to make a decision about what our priorities are. Will we step up to greater involvement? Will we adjust our weekly schedule to be more involved in the life of the kingdom work that goes on here at Christian Baptist? Will we adjust our calendar to do that? Will we adjust our financial plans to give full support to the kingdom work and the call of God? See, this is an invitation. Yes, it's a command. It's a wonderful invitation from the creator of the universe to be part of this great epic story of the redemption of the world, the salvation of the world through Jesus Christ. And he invites each one of us, man, woman, and child, to be witnesses to him, to tell everybody this wonderful story of God's love and forgiveness. So the question is, will you join Jesus in his redemption story? Will you join him? Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day, for this weekend, this time to relax, take a long weekend, enjoy time with friends and family. But Labor Day will be over. Now we're back to work. We're back to school. Lord, would you put it on each of our hearts as we leave the home on Tuesday morning and Wednesday and Thursday and all the days ahead, that the redemption of the world is your priority. And you've invited us to be part of that, to bring the message, to demonstrate, perhaps not even using any words at all, but demonstrate the love of God to those around us. We don't have to get on the airplane, we don't have to go to a foreign country. We can do it right where we work, and right where in the community where we live. But also I pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will inspire each one of us to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever and whenever we can. Hear my prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We gather as a family. We gather as Christians do all over the world, and we are invited to the Lord's table. Our Heavenly Father says, come. Come together as brothers and sisters. Come around my table and be be fed by me. And so we gather today at the Lord's table, at the communion table. There's a command from Scripture, from Jesus, to do it in memory of him, in memory of the Last Supper. He says, do this in memory of me. And so we gather this morning around the table and ask the ushers to begin to come forward as we sing the first verse of hymn 461, In Remembrance of Me.
So as I said, the Christian church worldwide, on some do it every Sunday, we do it first Sunday of every month, we gather at the Lord's table. It's an invitation from Jesus to be brothers and sisters around the Father's table. And he bids us all welcome. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter what your denominational background, what your history is with the church, but if you've made a commitment to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are welcome at the Father's table. Paul challenges us to not come to the table lightly, to not come without having examined ourselves. And so we always pause at this point of the communion service to ask ourselves in our hearts, is there any sin in our heart unconfessed? And so we take this time, a few moments, in silence, to bring your confession to your Heavenly Father and seek his forgiveness, so you can receive the elements with joy and peace in your heart. So meet with God once again this morning. Meet with him with a contrite heart and bring your confession to him. Scripture reminds us that God is faithful and just, and he forgives us when we confess our sins. So if you've confessed with your heart this morning, you are cleansed from your sin. God forgives. He's so quick to forgive once we confess. And now you're welcome to join your other brothers and sisters at this table. So are you going to say the prayer for the others, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table to participate in communion, it is to remember your Son and what he did for us, Father. And although we mourn this horrible death, we are thankful because his body and shed blood on the cross paid our sin debt so that we will not be separated from you. And Father, as we partake of this bread and this cup, we proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is life, and he is our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the scene that we memorialize in the communion service is the Last Supper. Jesus had gathered with his disciples. He knew that he was about to be arrested, condemned, and crucified. He knew that he would be physically be leaving earth, and there would be no physical remembrance of him. And so while they were having the Passover meal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, Jesus took the cup. Now in the Passover meal, there are four cups. And this would have been the third cup, which is the cup of redemption. Fourth cup is the cup of fulfillment. If you remember part of the scripture, Jesus said, I will not drink of this cup until I'm in my kingdom. So he takes the cup of redemption and he says to the disciples, take this and drink of it. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, each one of you.
Our message today has been, all the way through, has been on serving God. And it's really all that matters. It's all that matters, is serving God's kingdom and his purposes. Let us now resolve that our earth priorities, our life priorities, will be serving God. Let's go from this place knowing that he calls us, he invites us to participate in the redemption of the world. Go in peace today. Have a wonderful time of rest today and tomorrow. But as the scripture says, gird up your loins and be ready to do kingdom work when Tuesday morning comes around. Go in peace. Amen.